It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
OTR, or Old Time Radio, also known as Old Time Radio Theater, is primarily an art of the past in which theater was played out through broadcasts on the AM airwaves. Eventually, it all but died off as some of the shows went to television and listenership seemed to fizzle away. My guest today has worked in OTR locally here, and he's an avid OTR show collector involved in not only the restoration, but old radios as well. We'll talk to him all about that. Please welcome Mark Beaudichon to the show. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, good. Good to finally be out here again on the airwaves. Very nice.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and we've got lots of things to talk about. First of all, though, what got you interested in old-time radio shows, the shows themselves?
Well, as I was a young boy, my dad used to be a CB-er, like most people were back in the 70s. And anyways, he belonged to this organization called REACT, and they had a booth right next to basically AM 800, and he would have to do watches. Like, they would go to Channel 9 on the CB, and they'd listen for emergencies and deal with it, right? So, kind of boring for a six-year-old boy, so I decided to go down the hall, and, you know, I get to listen to everybody on the radio doing their nighttime shows or the day shows, depending on what time I was there. So, I mean, I did that at, you know, about six or seven or eight even, you know. So I had a little bit of background. So I got to meet a lot of the people back then when they used to call it the Big Eight, you know. And,
sure.
But back then it was all tubes, and it was kind of a totally different situation than what I'm looking in front of me. It's all solid state here. Back then it was all tubes, and it basically fanned out back in the 80s. It went to transistor at that point.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about you working in radio back in the day on the AM stations, playing old-time radio or helping out or whatever the case was there that you were doing back then. And I understand you did various work at a station or two.
Yeah, well, I did. I really didn't work at the station per se. I did a lot of work for the station. I was a ham operator. I got my ham license in 89. Mm-hmm. And being that as it may, I mean, I belonged to a lot of the clubs in the city. And I was able to work on the CBC radio tower. I was up at the very top at 690 feet over on Riverside Drive, putting up a repeater tower. And there's a bunch of different things that I did. I met Wayne Stevens back in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And great guy. Can't say nothing bad about him. He's as friendly as the day is long. And he was a very good guy. And I helped out on certain Golden Age radio shows with him. Did some voiceover work. And filled in for Stan Freeberg once in a while to do some of the show. And it was all piecework, but it was really good. I mean, a good feel there. Wayne was a great friend up until he retired a couple of years ago and moved to Florida.
I was going to say he moved to the States, right?
Yeah, he's in Florida now. I went to his house just before he left, about a month before he left, and he was getting rid of some of his old radios. You hate to see him go, but he kept quite a few.
Yeah. Do you have some of those?
No, I sold them to him. So.
Oh, okay.
No, he liked the 50s plastic sets. But
who else was here locally doing old-time radio? Was it just him, Stan?
Well, Stan wasn't actually. He's from the States. And I think, I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but I think he passed on, actually.
Okay,
but he was originally in radio back in the mid to late 50s. He did X-1. He did a lot of the sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of writing of it, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he was actually really good. He was in it from...
Really involved, yeah.
Yeah, he was really involved in it, Stan Freeberg. And he's one of the pioneers of the sci-fi that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the stuff, like the word bandwidth. I mean, originally it stood for the frequency between frequencies on your AM dial.
Sure, yeah.
You know, amplitude modulation. And
now
FM,
it encompasses everything. Bandwidth is
yeah
for beginning to end.
Yeah.
What about Wayne? Is that he's retired, moved to Florida? Is he doing anything in radio or involved in old time?
I don't think so. I think he's just enjoying his golden years. Like, he does collect a lot of things. He likes radio shows a lot. But his fancy is basically the old time comedies. Like, well, he was a big fan of Laurel and Hardy. And he collected everything that you could possibly want of Laurel and Hardy. And there was a way back when, I remember back in the 70s, I think it was about 76, 77, and we went to this, it was a jamboree for radio, and they had lookalikes. And I got a picture of me and my dad with Laurel and Hardy, and it's up at my front door right now, you know, so it's kind of nice, eh?
And speaking of collections and collecting, you have an unprecedented collection of old-time radio shows. Do you know just how many shows that you actually have? Ballpark, even?
Ballpark, yeah. Definitely over 17,000 individual episodes.
Wow.
About maybe 300 and something different type of genre, like different shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But over 17,000.
How did you acquire most of these over the years? Because I know, I mean, in this day and age, with the advancement of technology, you know, everybody's got MP3s, you know, everything's on a computer now, which I believe that you probably transferred a lot of things. But you're in here in the studio, at the CGM studio, and you have this big record sitting here, like a larger record than I've ever seen. And what is the speed and size that thing and whatnot?
This is 33 and a quarter speed.
Okay, it's, so regular
this
speed.
This one's actually for September 27th, 1949.
Wow.
And
what is that of? Who is that?
Well, this one's a Naval Air Reserve show.
Okay.
And on the back is a Bob Hope show with Dinah Shore. Same.
Why
year.
Would they be so mixed like that, like the front and back?
Well, this is a total half hour.
Right.
So these would be sent to the records, the radio stations, and they'd play the one side. And if you see on the record itself, it has a space there for the commercials to go in.
Oh, wow. So it's just an empty space on the actual...
Yeah, so okay. they'd have a live announcer do the commercial,
right.
And then by the time he was done, it'd go back into
he'd
the
have
show.
To be back in.
There was
okay.
no pausing, no
yeah.
stopping.
Yeah.
It was just boom. And
that's
then they'd
amazing.
Get these every day for the day.
And now, who do they come from? I mean, what's the label on these things? Like, who was it distributing these things? I mean, because the shows themselves are kind of very different, right? They're
Radio Recorders Incorporated, Allied Radio Manufacturers,
okay,
Hollywood, California. So this would have been a syndicated radio series, probably that went nationwide, right?
Yeah, pretty amazing. And now, how did you acquire some of these things? Former radio stations, privately?
Well, you know, once in a while. Like, I know, see, when they basically destroyed the Viscount building that was on Olette Avenue there.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that was in the basement, they just got rid of.
Yeah.
So I was able to acquire some stuff that way, and I belonged to, like...
That, of course, was the old radio station.
Yeah, yeah. The original, when the Big 8 was still around, for sure. And, they tore that down, so a lot of that stuff had to go. And
so what was some of that stuff you acquired? Obviously discs and some tape as well. And that's a different kind of tape.
Yeah, that would be acid reel. It'd be like wheel to wheel or reel to reel tape. And unfortunately, that stuff doesn't last. And call it acid reels because they basically over 10 years, they just disintegrate.
Were you able to transfer any of those? Did you have some of those things? Or?
I got some. Like, whatever I got, I automatically... Like, I even had a player that played these things because these play from the outside or inside out, these records. So I actually made a record player to play these, and I recorded them onto a cassette and then transferred them to MP3.
Right. And then did some restoration, I guess, on the computer probably needed it?
You can get rid of some of the pops. But, you know, I really like that stuff because it's when you're listening to old radio.
Well, that's the original sound, right?
I mean, even now, even fully restored, you're going to get some pops and wheezes and stuff. It's just the way the airwaves are, eh?
And then over time, obviously, some of the shows went to television. What are a few of the popular ones that actually went to TV?
Oh, there's quite a few. Pretty much everything in the 50s started out on radio. The Great Gildersleeve, Fibber McGee and Molly, Dennis the Menace, Dragnet. My favorite husband turned into pretty much an all-time favorite for most people. I Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Ozzie and Harriet, I guess.
Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. And Dragnet, I think I already said that. Wagon Train and... There's so many different ones.
How do you feel about seeing the television shows after? What was your how was that for you, seeing the television shows as compared to, you know, what you were listening to in the old time radio shows? Do you think it was, you know, was it kind of true to the shows, or was it, you know what I mean?
Well, they pretty much stick to the same format. Unfortunately, it's just with TV, there's no theater of the mind, we'll say. So everything had to be laid out. I mean, that's why that's why people basically switched. It was easier to switch over to transition from radio to television, because everything was there. You didn't have to think of what was, you know, there was nothing to think about. It was just basically to sit there and watch the show.
Sure, yeah. And the rarest old-time radio shows, in your opinion, or that you have, you know, what would you say is that?
That would be the ones dating from the late 20s, early 30s, because a lot of them, they just didn't survive. A lot of the stuff, like even this one, when they were played, they were destroyed.
Why destroyed?
Because they weren't allowed, because of copyrights. They couldn't replay them. It wasn't a rebroadcast. It had a date, and when it was done, it was done.
Well, actually, that's funny that they actually physically have to be destroyed, because of the fact now with computers, obviously, we just think of it as deleting a file. We don't realize that we're actually destroying a file, you know, right, for whatever purpose. The same kind of thing, I guess. So has there been any recent radio theater that you know of? Does it still go on anywhere?
Well, I know there's some. I mean, there's some on digital radio.
Not the old stuff, though, actually replayed now, because I see some of that stuff, like, on the internet and whatnot. But, I mean, is anybody doing that now, performing on radio? You know what I mean?
Oh, like live? Doing
yeah,
it now?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
remakes. I know in 19, I'm going to say 89, 90, I was aware of, they redid a Hall of Fantasy radio adaptation of the Jules Acali, and it was that's a phenomenal show. It's one that I can't really say enough about. I mean, it was done so good, but unfortunately, it can't be aired because of the copyrights. So, I mean, I heard it myself. It
right.
was a good one. I actually have a copy of it, mm-hmm. but I couldn't play that one. But, I mean, it was fantastic. It was all done by university students.
Yeah.
They all got into the role, and they did it like the old time. They all had the mics on the stage, and they went and did the whole half-hour drama right there on live radio. It was just fantastic to see.
Well, that's pretty cool, and when we come back, we'll talk to you more about old-time radio and also the radios and such that you actually restore. Pretty amazing, right after this.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
My guest this week on You Talking to Me is Mark Beaudichon. We're talking about old-time radio shows and radios, as a matter of fact. Now, you want to tell us a little bit about the history. That's the history of old-time radio.
Yeah, the history of old-time radio. It was very interesting, because back, you got to think the first broadcast was the late 20s. There wasn't very many sets, because it was tri-dun sets. They had three dials. You had to tune three dials to get one station. Mm-hmm. And then you had to monkey with the volume, and a set of tubes in one of those things, because if you turned up the voltage on the tubes, you'd pop the tubes, and basically a set of four tubes would be a half a week's pay for most people that were working.
Yeah. So, and actually, you told me a scenario about how much they were in respect to the price of a car one time. So
talk about
that as well.
Well, some radios back in like 30, 31, I mean, you could buy a Model A for like $350 brand new off the lot, or you could buy a radio for the same price, an Atwater Kent or Midwest or something, would be about the same or more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some Midwest sets that back then were $1,000 to $1,100.
Wow.
All chrome chassis, 32 tubes. I mean, that was like, you know, like a Lamborghini is now.
And they weren't even making vehicles with chrome chassis then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. So yeah, continue on a little bit with the history of OTR?
Well, most of the, like, most of it caught on back in about 37, 38. And that's when radio got into its golden age. And a lot of people are basically getting out of the depression, you know, the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And, you know, money was tight, but radio was free. And everybody could listen to it. And the kids would come home from school, and they get crawl in front of the radio, and they listen to Little Orphan Annie. And they, you know, the sponsors back then, they were clever because they targeted their markets. You
sure,
know?
Yeah.
And with Little Orphan Annie, I mean, two box tops and 10 cents, you got yourself a decoder badge that would help you with the next show because right. they'd give you codes, and you'd do the codes on the thing, and you could write it down what the message was that uh-huh. Little Orphan Annie was telling you.
And that was all the entertainment back then, really.
That was it.
So, yeah.
I mean, before radio, I mean, it was basically a player piano or somebody who knew how to play a guitar. I mean,
or Jax.
Yeah, pretty much.
You remember Jax?
Yeah. And then back in about late 40s, I guess, TV really took a hold. And, I mean, even in Ontario, we only had maybe six channels for the whole province. But, yeah, Windsor, we only had, like, two back in the late 40s. And
we're down to one now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Television.
One local, anyways. Yeah. But we do have some. We I mean, being that we're a border city, we have the Americans that kind of flood the market. But
sure, yeah.
But back then, there was only, like, two. So, I mean, they switched over once, you know, from radio to TV just because the market got smaller in radio because everybody wanted to switch over to TV because that was a new thing, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like today's computers and phones. I mean, every other week you got a new phone coming out. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and you got to get the new one.
Got to have the new one because it does something different. It does all the rest of the stuff that the other one does, yeah. But it does one thing
one
different.
One extra thing, sure, yeah. And what do you think the how this all kind of fizzled out? Was it just the fact that, you know, moving from radio to TV? I mean, I don't think there was any disinterest in it, really, because, I mean, television was the next level, really. You know what I mean? Taking it to a new height, basically, and we just kind of switched over, right, I guess?
Well, yeah, but I think it was easier to watch TV than it was to listen to radio. Like, I encourage new people to actually listen to an old-time radio show, whether you listen to it on the radio or if you listen to it on the computer or on digital radio, or even if you have an old record kicking around or you see one at a thrift store or something, you know, like the Lone Ranger or the Green Hornet or the Shadow or something, give it a listen. Close your eyes and just take a listen and see how it works. And you'll discover that you yourself could be a great director because you got all the pictures in your head and mm-hmm. you see everything playing out as it's going. Yeah, it's great to build your imagination. It's great for kids. Wonderful for kids.
Yeah, yeah. So, encouraging things that use their imagination is great. Not enough of them are doing that now. Let's move into the radios a little bit. Tell us about some of the radios you have and what got you into restoring these things.
Well, like I said, I mean, with my dad taking me to the thing, and it was fascinating just seeing the guy sitting there all alone in a room with a microphone.
Yeah.
And you could hear, you know, the speaker in the lobby going, and it was really nice. And so when I was 14, I was interested because I was listening to that same station. I listened to it because I was kind of hooked on that station,
sure,
so
yeah.
I listened to it. And one day I ended up listening to Honey Radio. I think it was 6:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they had radio
shows.
Oh, that
early in the morning? No, I'm just kidding. 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's cute. I should say amplitude modulation.
Ooh.
But anyways, they had a radio show, and it was Candy Madsen. Mm-hmm. And she's a crime photographer. It was actually an okay show. But after that, they had The Shadow. And then once I heard The Shadow, I was hooked.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And then I started listening to 580 because they had the older style music, and I liked that stuff. You know, I was always in the bands and that. And so at 10 o'clock, on comes a radio show. I'm like, oh, and they're on every night. And it was 7 days a week, and it was great. So I just started taping them. And then after taping them for so long, I had to have an old radio so I could listen to the old shows on the old radio. And
so then we get into the old radios, and you have a pretty amazing collection of them.
Yeah. Well, I used to. I mean, right. I have. It's pretty good. But, yeah. I mean, I used to have a huge amount. I had them everywhere. Mm-hmm. But now I think I'm down to maybe 100 or a little over 100, but I used to have quite a few of them.
Yeah. Now, you you do the restoration of the actual mechanics of these things, but you have somebody else do the actual wood generally?
Yeah. Well, I do electrical because I like to listen to them. And I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to the hum. I don't want to hear any pops or wheezes or nothing,
right,
unless
right.
it's from the airwaves. And then sure, I have no yeah. problem. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't really have a lot of time. I have a buddy of mine. His name's Neil, and he's excellent when it comes to radio. He seems to know how to do it the old ways.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything. It's all hand rubbed. I mean, when they're done, it looks like it was just bought. You know. So no, he does a great job. And but no, I like the electrical, getting that going. That way I can listen to it once in a while, hear whatever's on. And a lot of the older radios had shortwave. And, you know, shortwave's still booming right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, where do you generally get these radios? Or have, did you get the radios that you've restored? Do you are they just things you've... I mean, can you get them at garage sales and things like that?
Oh, yeah, garage sales, auctions, especially eBay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I bought a radio. I call it the potato chip radio. I paid 99 cents for this radio. Came from PEI. I paid $8 shipping.
Yeah.
I got it, and it was in a flat box, maybe 2 inches tall by 6 inches wide. And mm-hmm. basically, it was basically one side, the other side, the other side, the chassis, and all the tubes laid in it. Wow. And it's now sitting at... my better half's house, and it's a beautiful Emerson. They call it the lunchbox radio because it has a handle, looks like a lunchbox, and it's in excellent shape. And now, but I did the radio, and Neil did the cabinet, and it just came out amazing. For 99 cents, I got a $40 radio, $50 radio.
That's very cool. Now, I know some of the radios are plastic, I guess, when you get into the 50s and whatnot. That's something in my throat. In restoring those, are those things that you have to restore? I mean, they're a little bit newer. I wouldn't imagine they're, and probably tubes or anything like that, or are they kind of transistor?
Well, it's not. See, a lot of, that's a big mistake most people think. They think, oh, it's tubes. Well, the tubes are bad. It ain't mm-hmm. working. But it's not. The thing is with those radios is the power supplies go, because the electrolytic were oil and tinfoil and paper. Oil, tinfoil, and paper, and it just kept going and going, 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 going.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is the oil seeps through eventually through the tinfoil and gets into the paper. And then once that happens, basically the capacitor's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you change that, and I mean, I've been working on radios for over 20 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I must have restored close to 600 radios, and I think I've replaced maybe 10 tubes total.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I have 126,000 tubes, because back in the late 80s, when I
tube collector
first got back into the hobby, we'll say, mm-hmm. I went over, and everybody was switching over to solid state back then. So I'm like, can I buy your tubes? Can I buy your inventory? Can
sure,
I buy?
Yeah.
I went from here all the way up to Chatham, bought all the stores out, and I've been storing them all this time, but I use them. If I ever need a tube, I got it.
Did you ever get tubes from McKay's Television by chance? Park and Dougal?
I got Gray's.
Okay,
Gray's,
yeah, Gray's,
Mark's
right.
TV.
Yeah.
Crescent TV. Uptown Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be on Wyandotte. Yep. Bought them out. I got a lot of nice stuff from there. They had a huge auction. Oh, it was so good.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
And can you always get the parts that you need, even today? Like,
If you have them, like I always try to get them. And I when I strip a chassis, basically, I keep everything that I can. And I'll just keep it for years. And I have friends that do the same, so we basically pool our resources. If someone's working on something and I got the part, he's got it.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of different parts just from buying out the stores. So if there's ever a case I need something, there's always eBay or friends, or I just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, I just make one.
The internet comes along. For the most part, there's positives and negatives as far as the internet goes for music and the record companies, labels and bands and things like that. But for old time radio, because of its transition to television, I guess more so than anything, would you say the internet has probably been a good thing for that, because we're able to kind of bring it back in some way?
Well, I like the internet because the internet gives you what you want now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to wait till 8 o'clock. You can get it right now. If you want it right now, you got it right now. Just go over and click.
Yeah.
Another positive thing, there's so much possibilities with the internet. A lot of these, for old-time radio sake anyways, a lot of the old websites, basically they play samples of their stuff. So you can actually listen to an old radio show as it was played back in the 40s or 50s. And, I mean, that's going to be the new trend. I mean, AM radio basically has been being phased out since the late 80s. So, I mean, now they got these little inputs you can plug into your car and listen to, you know, digital radio, or you can listen to your MP3 player. So it's only a matter of time before you can just plug into internet radio and be able to listen to whatever you want.
Yeah, pretty much, and on demand, like you say. Tell us about some of the maybe some of the films that are out there that you know of, because I know you've spoke about, you know, some of the movies or films that are kind of related.
Oh, there's a bunch. If anybody wants to watch a good movie, there's like Radioland Murders, Radio Days. That's a Woody Allen film, and there's a bunch that are on the hobby itself. There's there's like the Radio Collector. Look it up on YouTube. There's also Around the Dial. And Around the Dial 2, there's the Philco Radio Story. I mean, there's so many different movies out there. And like modern stuff, I mean, there was a guy, it was a ham operator listening to radio waves. I mean, that come out, what, 6 years ago, something like that? I mean, it's still in the news today, so people are still listening to it.
Where can listeners, is a good spot maybe for them to find out more information on the web? I know that you have a Facebook page, Golden Age of Radio. They can search on Facebook for more information. And, you know, are there any other spots that are...
Well, I mean, like anything, YouTube seems to be the source. I know I have a Facebook page, it's Golden Age of Radio. And anyways, you can look up my name. For sure, I have a YouTube site, and I have some radio programming there. And when you look it up, it always has like or related links. I mean, there's so many.
Good stuff. Well, it was great having you on, Mark, and appreciate you sharing your expertise on old-time radio with us. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks a lot, JD.
All right, for more information and some amazing videos, check out Mark's Google Plus page. Search Mark Bodechon, Bodechon, and as well search Golden Age of Radio on Facebook. Mark's always eager to tell you anything he knows. And thanks for joining us this week, and I'll see you back here next Wednesday, 4 p.m., for You Talking to Me on CGM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.